All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the live stream for Heritage Baptist Church. I am in a room full of fans right now, and it's actual fans to dry things out, and I can't remember how many total are in our building. I want to say around 20, and devices to extract the water from various places. And before I get into the message from the Word of God this morning, I'll give you a little update on how we got to the place we are at the present. And by the way, I'll be looking around pretending that Miss Katie's over here and Brother Don's over here and Miss Linda's here and Paul and Joyce in the back. Just makes it a little bit more realistic for me. So, last few days, to give you a recap of what's happened, it's been quite eventful around here. Wednesday was the day that the hurricane really began to take effect on Brevard County and particularly Titusville, where our church is. And there was lots of rain, lots of wind on Wednesday all through the night. And then Thursday morning, a pastor made his way over here to the building along with Frank, showed up, and they discovered that we had some flooding. We had some water that had entered the building in several places, mostly in the back part of our property in the buildings, not as much in the auditorium, though some did get in the auditorium and the office area, the lobby, all fine, but we did have some water enter. So that obviously prompted a lot of thoughts about what are we going to do, but we had to put everything on hold because the rain and the wind was not finished yet. Thursday brought some more rain and a whole lot of wind, and it seemed as if that last little part of the hurricane just lingered, and it seems like a mist for several hours on Thursday evening and then some wind, and it got really, really cool. Temperatures dropped significantly. So that was Thursday, that brings us to Friday morning when all the action took place. So a group of folks from our church assembled with extension cords and fans and wet vacs to try to get to work on salvaging whatever we could here at the church as a result of the damage. I reached out to two different companies that are damage salvaging companies, I guess you call them, the damage restoration experts, I guess what you call them. And one of them was a group that's a national group that you would all recognize if I called them out. And I had a feeling whenever I called them that they probably wouldn't get back to me, or it would be several days. Then I reached out to a local company just north of the church here, and I got a little bit more hope talking to the receptionist, and she actually assured me and seemed confident that we would hear back from them sometime late morning, early afternoon. So this was Friday, probably around 12:30, 1 o'clock, got a phone call from the company. He was at another location, the crew leader, and he said, I will be over there shortly. And they showed up. And when they showed up, they had three big trucks full of equipment. And we asked them if they could just give us an assessment concerning the work we had already done, if we were heading in the right direction, and also give us an estimate, at least from their end, to try to do what they could to salvage everything here as much as possible. And we knew there was going to be a cost, and it was probably going to be quite a bit. So after a walkthrough, taking a look at everything, they said that we were on the right track. However, there's a lot more need to be done, and they had the equipment to do it. They said they could get to work immediately. So we hired them to do the work, and I won't tell you how much it's going to cost, but it was, to me, a lot less than I thought. And probably to some folks, it's a lot of money, but these things just cost some money. Now, the Lord has been really good to our church, and we've got money to handle something like this, and it's not going to break us at all. And if you ever heard the saying, save up for a rainy day, well, we've done that, and then some, and we certainly had a couple of rainy days. So the Lord has blessed us with the ability to take care of that, and all glory goes to God for just the timing of everything with the company coming here. Very reputable local company, had real good reviews. Frank had some connections with them and said nothing but good things about them. And these guys brought a ton of equipment in and went to work immediately. So they have had their equipment going all the rest of the day Friday, all day yesterday, and then they will continue today. So what we have done is we've turned off the equipment for now for a few minutes here. It'll go right back on whenever I finish. And they'll also continue to run throughout the day today. They'll be back in the morning to do an assessment. If they're satisfied with the job that's been done, then we will go to the next step and have the carpets all clean. They'll take care of all that, steam clean the carpets, deodorize, disinfect. And then we'll be ready to start putting things back to where they belong. So in the room I'm in here, the auditorium, there are no pews. And all of our pews have been taken to the very back, to the Denman Hall, our fellowship hall. And they are there right now with hopes of being brought in here, Lord willing, by next weekend, so that next Sunday we will be as back to normal as we possibly could be. So if you would have seen the water that was here, now I didn't get to firsthand see it, I just saw pictures, but if you could see that, how it was Thursday, we're in a really good spot now, and all glory goes to God. We just thank Him for taking really good care of us, and in the message here in a moment, I'll say some more things about that, just the goodness of God and how we are greatly blessed. A lot of folks had a lot worse than us, and we've been really blessed to have the situation come to where it is, and again, the timing and all the little details that fell into place, we couldn't have done that on our own. Impossible, but the Lord saw fit to see us through that, as He always does. And here at our church, with our church collectively and with individuals, the Lord always sees us through. Takes really good care of us, more than we deserve. Takes much better care of us than any of us deserve. So the plan right now is to have Wednesday night service here with people. So if you're listening on the live stream, come back Wednesday. We can set our chairs out then. I don't think we'll be ready or will we have the manpower necessarily to bring all the pews back and get those situated. Some way, shape, or form, we'll have seating if it's a couple of pews, if it's chairs for Wednesday. And then, Lord willing, Saturday we'll get everything moved back in here, Friday or Saturday. And then Sunday we will, again, have our normal services, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, if the Lord wills with all that. So, again, that's all in His hand, and He's helped us this far. I know He'll see us through the rest of the way. So there will be no live stream tonight. However, we have been doing principles of Bible study, and we've been through 9 of those, so you do have a little bit of homework. If you missed any of the principles of Bible study, you can get on tonight and watch whatever one, or maybe there's more than one you need to take a look at, and get back on track with that. And the plan will be to pick up number 10 next Sunday night, and then we'll go from there. Now, if you looked at the bulletin, which is online, I put a note in there about the sweet and savory pie fellowship. So we will not do that next week, but we will plan on having that sometime in October. So if you stay tuned, next week we'll make an announcement about when we'll do that. Try to do that before the end of the month, as well as schedule a business meeting. Do the best we can to try to get that done by the end of the month as well. So that brings me to a couple other little things before the message. Hopefully that got you all caught up to speed on where we are with the church. And again, all praise and glory goes to our Lord and Savior for sparing us and helping through to mitigate what damage that we did have. So that brings us to birthdays and anniversaries. There were none this week. I know we have several in October, but none for this week, at least that I saw. And then we do have a memory verse. So the only thing you're missing this morning is the singing. And I'm not going to sing for you, obviously. I'm not going to do a solo, but you can sing on your own. I'll sing on my own, probably in the car when nobody's listening on the way home. But we'll do our memory verse. Our memory verse this week is Romans 6:4, and it is the first of several verses this month of October. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. So Christ's resurrection power in the life of the believer. The first couple here are from Romans chapter 6, and this one's kind of long. You get a little bit of a break next week. The next one is a little bit shorter, significantly shorter. But we'll say Romans 6:4 together, and if you can't say it, you can open up your Bible and you can read it with me here. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4, connecting the death and the resurrection of Christ to the life of the believer. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but those things through the death of Christ have been put away. And now we have risen with Him. That's just for saved people. You are risen with Jesus Christ and you have new life. And no matter how long you've been saved, hopefully you realize that the new life you have in Christ is a whole lot better than the old life you had without Him. And if that's not the case, then you might need to get your spiritual blood pressure checked or your spiritual temperature checked to see where you are with the Lord. Walking in newness of life, think about this. It's new every day. God's mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3 says that. If you're saved, you have the power given to you by Jesus Christ to walk in newness of life every single day that you have. What a blessing that is because of what Jesus Christ has done for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. So what I'll do next is, again, this is just a little different due to the circumstances. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll open up the Scriptures. I hope you open up with me, and we'll get right into the message this morning. I told Pastor and Brother Bob that it would probably be a short message. You know to probably beware if a preacher says there is a short message coming. So we'll see how that turns out. I will tell you, though, that it's a little warm in here this morning because we have the air conditioning off. And already it's pretty warm up here where I'm standing. So I'll try to get to the point, stick to the point, and we'll, with the Lord's help, have a message that we can all use this morning. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Lord God, even though there's nobody here physically other than Pastor, we know that you've got a plan and a purpose for all that's happened here in the last few days. And we know that this message will go out thanks to technology and the internet. Pray this would be a real blessing to people that are listening live right now, as well as people that may hear this sometime in the future. And I just pray that this message would be something that would comfort and strengthen and help all of us. May all of us deal honestly with the things that you put in front of us about ourselves. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to be greatly at work this morning. As we know that where two or more are gathered, here you are in the midst. And we just ask that you would have your will and you would do your work this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to open up and turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And if you have a Bible, you can turn along with me. I don't know if you've got the Scriptures on the screen or not. But if you don't, that's a great opportunity for you to pull out your own copy of the Word of God. Open up to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to read chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Probably the verse that's most familiar to you that I will read will be verse 28. But we'll get a little bit of an idea of what's going on in this chapter, starting in verse 26. The work of the Holy Spirit is what's is the topic here when we begin verse 26. So the Bible says, Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So if you are a child of God, you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, these verses are directed specifically at you. You ought to know some things about what these verses say, and not just know, but apply them, because there's some powerful things in these verses that will help all of us. Speaking of help, if you look at verse 26, it says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So here's point number one. First thing this morning I want to talk about is the hand of God. And where do you get help? You get help from the hand of God. So I think I was probably 4 or 5 years old. One of my earliest memories, I was with my parents, and we had traveled to a Christian camp where my dad was one of the speakers during the week at the camp, during the summertime. So this camp, like a lot of camps, have a lake. And at that point in my life, I really enjoyed being in the water, but I couldn't swim. So I go down into the water, and I'm in probably at the time knee-deep or waist-deep water, and I'm just having a good time. My mom and dad and some other folks are standing just a little ways away, and they're watching me. They're having conversation, but they're seeing what I'm doing. But then some time passes, probably just a few minutes. They're still talking, and I have made my way a little further out. Now, not far, just a few more feet. But now I've got the water probably shoulder height. But I'm okay because my head's above water, and I feel like I can manage this. Well, a little bit later, I find myself, as I walked out even further away, I found that my feet wouldn't reach the bottom of the lake. So you probably had this sensation before. Your feet can't reach the bottom of the lake. You better be sure that you can swim. Well, guess what? I couldn't swim. I'm just a little 4 or 5 year old. I don't have that ability. I hadn't learned how to swim yet. So when you don't know how to swim and your feet won't hit the bottom, your arms and legs start flailing. So here I am. Now, as a little boy, it seemed like quite some time, but it was probably a matter of 5 seconds or maybe 3 seconds that this whole thing took place. But in that very moment, when my feet didn't hit the bottom and I began to be fearful and my arms and legs were flailing, you know what I did? I called out for help. And I can't remember if I said, "Help, Dad," or just "Help." I got a feeling I probably just said, "Help!" But that call for help prompted my dad to look directly at me and see what was going on. And immediately, when he heard me say, "Help," and he saw me trying to keep myself above water, he runs out into the water, fully clothed. He's got his nice clothes on, and pulls me up out of the water. And it was not hard at all for him to pull me out of the water. He's bigger, he's stronger, he could swim. He didn't care, by the way, that his clothes got all wet, because he was more concerned with me being safe. So there's a situation as a little boy where I had to completely rely on my father to pull me up out of a situation that I knew I could not handle myself. And I'd say that happened a long time ago. I mean, we're looking at probably 45, maybe more than that, 45 years ago. And I still remember that very clearly. And I think the Lord will, again, hopefully He will, keep this in fresh in my mind for a long time to come, because at that moment, I knew I could not save myself. And at that moment, I knew I needed somebody stronger than me to help me. So at that moment, I called out for help, and the person that could help me was near, and the person that could help me did help me. Amen? Now, if you know the Lord, and God is truly your Father, you're one of His children, because you've been saved, you've been born again into His family, then you need to remember that illustration, because there will be times when you are in over your head and you need help from God. You need the hand of God to pull you out, to pull you through. So hopefully that will help you this morning think about how powerful God Almighty is, and how He only can help you in situations where you are totally, utterly helpless. So, what do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you have no strength of your own? You know what you do? You call out for help to the only one that has the power to help you. That's the Lord God Almighty. So, with this hurricane we just experienced, we all found ourselves in situations in which there were many unknowns. And when there are many unknowns and you're not sure what's going to happen next, what you do is you prepare as best you can, but then there's a lot of things you can't prepare for, so you trust the powerful, the mighty hand of the Lord. So I mentioned that my dad ran down into the water and with his hands pulled me up out of the water. So a thing or two about the hand of God this morning. The hand of God is where help is given. God helps us with His helping hand. And if you look at verse 26, it says, the first part, it says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So an infirmity, when I see that word in my Bible, the word that comes to mind to connect to that is the word infirmary. And that's the old word we used to use for a place where you go when you needed some treatment for your sickness or your weakness. And that's actually a good synonym for that word infirmity, is a weakness. Now, us men and women and children don't like to acknowledge our own weaknesses. Now, particularly us men. But if you are not willing to acknowledge your weaknesses before God, His mighty hand will not be seen in your life as it certainly could be. So we have to first acknowledge that we cannot do something because we are too weak to do it. And when we are honest enough with the Lord to say, I cannot do this, the Lord has a special way of stepping in and taking really, really good care of us. And I'll say it like this. God receives glory when we acknowledge our own weakness before Him and trust Him. If you don't need that again, I need it again. God receives glory when we acknowledge our own weakness or weaknesses before Him, and then we trust Him. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You want to see the mighty hand of God at work? You've got to humble yourself before our mighty God. So a few verses here that talk about the mighty hand of God. Joshua chapter 4. Go back to your Old Testament here. Joshua chapter 4. Have you been relying on yourself to try to solve your problems? Or have you been relying on the mighty hand of God? This is Joshua 4. Go down to the end, verse 20. If you remember, these Israelites crossed over the Jordan River on dry ground. And after they did so, Joshua took 12 stones, one stone for each of the tribes of Israel, and set them up for a memorial to remind those Israelites for many years to come the mighty power of God in leading them through the Jordan River, leading them across that Jordan River on dry ground. So if you pick it up there, verse 20, Joshua 4:20, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us, until we were gone over. Now notice in verse 23, Joshua gives all the glory to God for the work, the mighty work, the powerful work that God did, knowing that the Israelites did nothing. If you look at verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, I am able to brag on the mighty hand of God this morning in the situation with Heritage Baptist Church only because a few days ago we looked at a pretty bleak situation. Now, I know that our situation here is not even comparable to what a lot of folks, particularly on the west coast of Florida, are going through now, but I still want to give credit where it's due. And all the little things that fell into place, particularly on Friday morning, Friday afternoon, for us to come to the place we are now here with our building. The mighty hand of God was at work. And if you look at verse 24, it says the reason why God chose to do things the way He did with Israel and the Jordan River, miraculously, He does that for the purpose of that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So I know that hopefully all of our folks here at Heritage Baptist will mark this down as a moment in time where, once again, God's mighty hand was at work, and with His mighty hand, He gave us great help. And it is a good thing to get help from the Lord God Almighty. It's better than any help you would get from a psychiatrist, from a psychologist, from a medical doctor, from any self-help guru. You need, I need, the mighty hand of God at work in our lives. And when we go through dark, difficult times, that's when we are most inclined to call on Him. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 33, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. So whenever we go through dark, difficult times, that's a great opportunity for the Lord to show His mighty hand at work. Now, I mentioned here that there's people in a lot worse situations than us. And I want to go over to the book of Job and show you a couple things here from the book of Job. If you go over to Job chapter 12, Job chapter 12 tells us something here about God and His work. Now, I know that our verse that we read, verse 26 from the text, says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. That's Romans 8:26. And I'm just talking here about God's mighty hand, mighty to help us whenever we are struggling, whenever we have weakness. So this verse will go right along with it. Actually, a few verses. Look at verse 7, Job chapter 12. This is Job talking. He says, but ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. And if you look there, those are a couple of great verses on God using His creation, the things that He made, to teach us valuable lessons about ourselves and about Him, about His power. And if you look at verse 9, take a look at the wording here. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? So you know who made the beasts in verse 7, and the fowls in verse 7, and the earth in verse 8, and the fish in the sea in verse 8? That's the hand of the Lord. Powerful hand of the Lord. If you look at verse 10, there's more about the Lord's hand. It says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. You see what verse 10 says about what's in God's hand? In God's hand are two things, according to verse 10. The soul of every living thing. That's my soul and that's yours. Also, the breath of all mankind. Now, I can only still hold so much in this hand right here. My hands are smaller than a lot of folks. Every man's hand has a capacity, though. He can only hold so much. Folks, you see what right there, what's in the hand of the Lord? The soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Now, I can't imagine holding in my hand a soul or a breath. I can't see either one of those. But that goes to show you the mighty hand of the Lord. He holds the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Hey, I hope that you have seen over the last few days the mighty hand of God. He brought this great, powerful storm across our state. And in the midst of that, hopefully you were witness of His mighty power. I was actually standing outside, I believe it was actually Thursday afternoon. And you talk about a powerful gust of wind just about knocked me down. And I was reminded, here's something I can't see, but it sure is powerful. Here's something I don't know where it came from, but it sure has the ability to knock me down. And isn't that a whole lot like the Lord? You can't see the Lord, but you can see His mighty power. And he's at work. Here's a good statement for all of us. God is at work whether we recognize it or not. And I would say that in the physical situations we find ourselves, we often are too focused on the physical situation that we miss out on the spiritual work that God is doing. Now, I'm trying to take as best I can this physical situation that we're in right now with our church and trying to see God's mighty hand was at work behind the scenes, bringing some things to pass to give us the help that we needed, and that's His mighty hand at work. So there is a 100% chance that if not now, sometime in the future, you will find yourself in a situation where you are utterly helpless and you can do nothing to change your circumstances. It could be a situation with your health. It could be a situation with your finances. It could be a situation with another person that is causing you problems in your life. Could be a boss. Could be a coworker. Could be a neighbor, or could even be a family member. Anytime you find yourself in a situation where you are helpless to solve the problem, and you know that your own strength is useless to overcome the situation, that is the perfect time for you to lean on the mighty hand of the Lord. Folks, I just encourage you this morning, whatever you find yourself in right now, whatever difficulty, whatever dark place, call on the Lord for help. His mighty hand is more than able to save you and help you out of whatever it may be. So let's go back to Romans 8, and let's go to the next verse here. That's a little bit about the mighty hand of God, Romans 8:26. Let's take a look at that next verse. Before we do, I just want to point out something about verse 26 that's really neat. This is a whole message in itself. But look at the end of verse 26. It says, about in the middle of verse 26, it says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Folks, there's times when you don't know specifically how or what to pray. And in those situations, you just say, Lord, You know my situation better than I do. Would You please help me through this? And according to verse 26, now this is not me telling you this, this is God's word, but according to verse 26, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you don't know what to pray and you ask the Lord for help, He takes care of the rest. He does so with groanings which cannot be uttered. We don't hear it. But you could certainly see the results of the intercession that God has done on your behalf. That's Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and men, the intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. So some neat stuff there about verse 26. Let's go on to verse 27. It says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So point number two, we had the hand of God. Point number one. Point number two is the will of God. Notice the end of that verse. The Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I'll tell you this to start off with. The will of God is not always sunshine and roses. The will of God is not always positive. Sunshine, roses, everything is great, everything is beautiful. Folks, let's be honest, that's not real life. That's not realistic. So if you would, I should have had you keep your finger there, but go back to Job. Anytime, go to Job chapter 1, and anytime you find yourself in a situation where you think you got it bad, take about 3 or 4 minutes of your time and read the first couple chapters of Job, and you will find there's a man here who had it a whole lot worse than any of us probably will ever have. So if you look at Job 1, good reminder about who Job was. Verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So from that first verse, I recognize Job is a good man. Job is a God-fearing man. Job is a man who's got a close relationship with the Lord. goes on there to tell you about his sons and daughters and all his possessions. And it tells you that Job offered burnt offerings, so he obviously had revelation from God about the sacrificial system that was in place at that point in history. And then if you go down to 13, chapter 1, verse 13, I'm going to read these next few verses, and there's not really much comment needed because this is the situation Job was in. And I'm reading these verses to remind all of us, this was, at this time in Job's life, the perfect will of God for his life. See, the will of God is not always nice and shiny and we like it. Sometimes the will of God is difficult to swallow. And if you take a look at verse 13, it says, there was a day when his sons and daughters and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the ass was feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So right off the bat, Job's lost some of his servants. They've been killed. And if you look at verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So there's more of his servants and his possessions that are lost. If you go on to verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So if you go back and look at all that Job had at the first part of the chapter, you find that everything he owned is now gone, with the exception of his wife. And if you keep reading here, you find out she wasn't much of an encouragement to him throughout all this. Now here's the response of a man who knows a thing or two about the hand of God and the power of God and the will of God. Look at verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and, interesting word there, worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. If you ever want a great example of how to respond to a difficult, dark situation, read the book of Job. All you got to do is read the first couple chapters, and you find out how bad he had it, and you find out the right response. So look at a couple things there. If you look at verse 20, Job worships God. Verse 21, Job praises God. Job blesses the name of the Lord in verse 21. And then it says that he did not charge God foolishly. So you know what a lot of folks would have said? Oh, the Lord is not being very nice to me. This is not fair is how a lot of people would handle that. They would go on and on about how the Lord did not know what he was doing. The Lord did not know how difficult it was. And if you know about the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, you know how he experienced the greatest of difficulties in enduring that for us. And I'll say more about that in a moment. If you go to chapter 2 of Job, look at verse 7. It gets worse for Job. You think it's bad there in chapter 1. It gets worse in chapter 2. Look at verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. So there Job's health, his physical body is now being afflicted. And folks, all of this that has happened so far is the will of God for the life of Job. And Job makes his true account, makes the scriptures to remind us all that God allows difficulties to happen. And in those difficulties, we should not charge God foolishly. We should trust the Lord because God has a purpose. His will is being accomplished throughout that. And if you look at verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now watch his response here. Now he's got his wife against him. Everybody, he's lost all his family except his wife, and now she's against him. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Folks, when you go through trials and tribulation, God's purpose is to reveal the true condition of your heart. Whenever you go through a hard time, the real you comes out. And I'll say that trials and tribulation can either produce bitterness towards God or thankfulness towards God. And if you look at Job here, what we've read so far, he was not bitter. He still blessed the name of the Lord. He still worshiped the Lord. So I'll say that again. Trials and tribulations will either produce bitterness in your heart towards God and others, or it will produce thankfulness toward God for Him knowing a whole lot better than you and I. So which one are you? If you are bitter, it is the result of you failing to give a situation to the Lord for Him, the Lord, to take care of. That's worth repeating. If you are bitter because of something that has happened that was completely out of your control, that is the result of you failing to give that situation to the Lord for Him to take care of. And I know, folks listening right now, I can't even imagine things that have happened to you that were completely unfair. And if you choose to get bitter, Hebrews 12 says that root of bitterness in you will not only affect you, but it will defile others. And if you don't give that to the Lord and let Him handle it, it will just continue to fester and grow inside of you, that bitterness. And you will go to your grave being a bitter old man or old woman. You know that nobody wants to be around that. But folks, give it to the Lord. The Lord sorts things out and brings judgment better than anybody else. I know that we have earthly judges who fail. The Lord God Almighty is not an earthly judge. He's a heavenly judge, and He never fails. And He will bring the right repercussions to those who need it, to those who are deserving. So if you go back there to Romans chapter 8, let's get the end of verse 27. We'll get to this last verse here this morning. If you look at 27, it mentions intercession in verse 26. And again, second half of verse 27, talking about the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'll tell you, if the intercession that's taken place that the Holy Spirit does for me and you, it is always done according to the will of God. And if it is always according to the will of God, shouldn't our own personal prayers also be according to the will of God? And the answer to that is, yes, our prayers should be in accordance with the will of God, since the Spirit, the intercession that He does for us, is always according to the will of God. So should our own prayers and our own motives be according to the will of God. And another message, but how do you find the will of God? You get yourself into the Word of God. You get to know His commands. You get to know what God wants you to do in each and every situation that He puts you in. Only through the Word of God will you know the will of God. All right, back to verse 28 here in Romans 8. We'll get this last point. We had the hand of God. We had the will of God there in verse 27. Let's look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for what? For good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So the hand of God, the will of God. How about the last point here, verse 28, the purpose of God. The purpose of God. If you know the Lord and you are truly trusting Him to deal with the difficulties you face, notice what the verse says to you. I'll read it again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, you believe that verse? Do you really believe that's true? How is it that the most awful and terrible of situations can work together for good? How can that happen? How can God do that? Well, we're going to put this to the test here for a moment. Let's take the most unfair, the most painful, the most cruel, the most hate-filled event that ever took place. Did you catch that? Unfair, painful, cruel, filled with hate. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not fair. He was a sinless man. It was painful. He endured the cross, the cruelties of the Roman soldiers on that cross. It was painful, cruel, and motivated by hatred. Not just the Romans who hated him. His own hated him. In fact, he came into his own, John 1 says, and his own received him not. They rejected him. His own people, the Jews, rejected him. So how could an unfair, painful, cruel, hateful event, how could that work together for good to them that love God? Well, you know, Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we," that's me and that's you, "while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." 1 Corinthians 15, you can leave Romans 8 here, we won't be back there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, it tells you what the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. 1 Corinthians 15, 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died," next three words, "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So the unfair, painful, cruel, hateful situation there on the cross that took place, that all happened because Jesus Christ was paying for my sins and for yours. You see, all things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, and let's go on here. I can't leave out verse 4. "And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Folks, there would be no resurrection of Christ if there was not first the death and burial of Jesus Christ. All of that that took place on the cross that we look at and say, how can that be good? The darkest moment in human history on that cross. In fact, we mentioned here recently how the lights went out. The sun was darkened. There was no light for a few hours there. How could that work together for good? Well, Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And it was purposeful that God allowed Jesus Christ to go to the cross. It was purposeful for Jesus Christ to be willing to go to the cross. Because in the most tragic of circumstances, God is able to bring good out of them. And you know what I got out of that? You know what you have available to you if you don't already have it out of that situation on the cross? You get your sins forgiven. You get eternal life. You can walk, as the verse said, in newness of life today because of Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again. Amen? God has a purpose in all that He allows. And His purpose is to bring good out of the darkest, most dreadful, most difficult of situations. So, March of 2021, that's been about 18 months ago now, Sherry and I took a trip to Colorado Springs. And we had to find a place to stay the last night there. And we happened to find a place called the Glen Eerie Castle there in Colorado Springs that was owned, it was a resort owned by a Christian organization called the Navigators. And I knew very little about the Navigators at the time. I knew a little bit. I did know that they used to produce these little scripture memory cards, And they had a scripture memory system that you could purchase and you could use to bring a lot of to memorize a lot of scriptures according to topic. And I knew that from when I was a kid. They were very active in evangelical churches, have been for a long time. And the man that founded this organization called the Navigators was a man named Dawson Trotman. So where Sherry and I stayed, we stayed in this little sort of a hotel setup, little building with several rooms in it. And nearby there, they had a trail that we hiked on. They had trails all around there. And the one that we hiked on was the trail to Dawson's grave. And we followed that trail for quite some time, probably took about 15, 20 minutes to get to where they actually had buried Dawson Trotman. And then I began to do a little research on how Dawson Trotman died. And he actually died when he was age 50. So this took place on June 8th, 1956. Dawson Trotman is riding in a boat with a couple other people on Troon Lake. And here he is in this boat, and he falls out of the boat, and a young lady falls out of the boat. So the young lady could not swim, and Dawson Trotman could swim. So they're going at a pretty good speed whenever they fell out, whenever they flew out of the boat into the water. And immediately, Trotman does his best to try and save this young lady. Her name was Aline Beck. So Trotman, what he does is he's got to try to get to her and hold her up out of the water, or at least get her head up out of the water, as long as he can until the boat circles back around to get to them to where both of them can be rescued. So he uses up every ounce of strength to keep little Aline Beck up out of the water until the boat comes back. Finally, the boat gets back and his hand is holding her up out of the water, and they rescue her to safety. And as they pull her into the boat, Dawson Trotman goes under and they never saw him again, or at least not alive. And he drowned on that day. And eyewitnesses tell of the profound anxiety, the tears, the helpless disbelief in the faces who now looked out across that deep blue water, knowing that he had died. And if you were to have been close by, his wife at the time, Lilla Trotman, his widow now, she walked upon that scene, and a close friend of hers shouted, "He's gone. Dawson's gone." And to that, she replied in calm assurance the words of Psalm 115, verse 3, which says this, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." And in that situation there, that young lady's life was saved, even though Dawson Trotman lost his life on that day. And I tell you that story to remind all of us, no matter how difficult the circumstances you endure, God has a purpose in allowing them, and trusting Him to give you strength and wisdom to endure is the only hope you have. And when you do so, you will be amazed how God will bring good out of that situation. And when God brings good out of a dark and difficult situation, those are the times when God is glorified. I'll turn over to John 15, just as a little reminder to all of us here in closing. John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ talking here. Good little reminder he says here. Verse 5, John 15, 5, "I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And then the last part of the verse, "For without me ye can do nothing." Folks, be reminded when you go through a tough time, through a real dark, difficult time, that the Lord allows it. Oftentimes He has a purpose, and only He can bring good out of it.
But to get good out of it, you got to trust that God knows what He's doing and lean on Him to give you the strength, knowing without the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. So let's pray, and then we'll bring it into our message here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you brought us here this morning to in the Scriptures. I pray that be a help to all those who hear. We want to just give you thanks for what you have done here at our church. And we know that our circumstance is nothing compared to many others. At the same time, we want to give you praise for all the little details you brought to pass, really just over the last probably 48 hours or so. And we thank you for the water damage we had so that we could see your hand at work and bringing us out of this and providing for us mightily. Thank you for allowing us to see your mighty hand at work. And we pray that as we go through our week, your Holy Spirit might be just obviously at work in all of our lives. And may we trust you, lean on you instead of on our own understanding and all the situations we find ourselves in. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.